We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount for several Sunday evenings, and we're about halfway through that particular sermon. But when you look at the sermon, much of it is a comparison. Chapter 5 of the sermon, he compares what many had practiced under the law of Moses, whether it was right or wrong, and what he expected of his disciples in the new kingdom. In chapter 6, he makes the comparison between those who worship and act and serve sincerely as opposed to those who do it hypocritically. And in chapter 6, we've looked at giving alms, fasting, praying. And in that, there was, of course, the example of the disciples' prayer. And now, in the particular part we come to in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about, again, a comparison, and this time about where you're going to put your treasure, where you're going to leave it, where you're going to store it up. And again, there's two choices. Throughout this Sermon on the Mount, there seems like there's always these two different ways. And there's always a right way and a wrong way. And that's what he talks about in this particular section in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about the two different places, and notice there are only two. Whatever you have, your treasures are going to be put somewhere, and there's only two possible somewheres they'll go. They're either going to be laid up on earth, or they're going to be laid up in heaven. There are no other places to put them. It's like two boxes. You choose where you're going to put them. There's not three, four, or five boxes. There's only two. You have to decide where they're going to go. So Jesus tells us what the wise choice is, and what it really comes down to is choosing your master. Because each of those two boxes has a master. And so when you choose the box, you're really choosing the master. And that's what we see in this particular paragraph or portion of his sermon. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Again, notice the contrast, the comparison. Do not... So he starts out with the negative. Here's one box. He says, don't choose this box. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And he gives an explanation as to why. Don't put it in this box. Why? Because if you do, moth and rust destroy in that box, and thieves can break in and steal that box. Why? Because that box is on earth. See, on earth, it's easy. If we've got some particular treasure, what can happen to it? Well, it can rust, or it can corrode. It gets old. It gets frail. I remember years ago when my dad preached at Exeter, one of the ladies there that had been married for, 20-some years, said that she had been given some towels as a wedding present, and she had kept them for 20-some years, never used them, or this particular one, so she got it out and used it and washed it, and it was just disappeared into nothing. I mean, it was just fragments. Well, during that time, even though it hadn't been used, it had become corrupted. It had gotten old. It had gotten useless. And so, one time, and that was it. Back in the first century, of course, there weren't banks and that type of thing, no savings and loans, so people often would bury their possessions, their money or whatever. And of course, when you bury something in the ground, what's going to happen to it? Well, it can rust or corrode or whatever. And if it's something that insects can destroy, they can get in. If it's paper or whatever, they can get in and destroy it. Sometimes people would keep it in their house, and what would happen? Thieves could break in and destroy, and often the type of houses they had, the thieves would simply make a hole in the wall. And that's how they would get in. So there weren't places on earth to keep riches, money, wealth, valuables, possessions that wouldn't corrode or over time rust or be eaten or maybe even stolen. So Jesus said, that's what this box is. If you put it in this box, don't expect anything to be left in that box at the end of your life. That box will be empty. So he's saying it's pointless, it's vain to put things in that box. Don't put it there. Because it's like you're throwing your money away. It's a bad investment. Not only will you not have what you put in, but there won't be anything left. So he says, don't lay up for your treasures there. It's a huge mistake. This is nothing new as far as the Bible is concerned. Back in Proverbs chapter 23, we're given some wisdom about this very thing. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 4. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 4. We're given some sage advice there about laying up treasures. Verse 4 and following. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. It says, don't overburden yourself. Don't overwork yourself to acquire wealth. That's not your purpose in life. Okay? Again, that's putting everything in the wrong box. If that's your life, if you are acquiring these things for your own selfish purposes, just to amass more and more, it says you're putting it in the wrong box. You'll have nothing when your life is over. There'll be absolutely nothing left there. James gives some similar advice. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. That chapter is about the rich, which would certainly include all of us here. He says, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Notice how similar the language is to Christ. Much of the book of James is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. You can almost make direct comparisons between Matthew 5 through 7 and the book of James. They are very, very similar. Well, he says, your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days, the wrong kind of treasure, and that kind of treasure is going to simply fan the flames, feed the flame of that fire. So we can almost think about having, you know, paper money, and if what we're doing is, if we're working to amass more paper money and that's the reason we're doing it, then James says on the last day that paper money is going to be the fire that will consume you, that will burn you up, that unquenchable fire. It's like throwing that money on the fire and making it hotter. If that's the reason you're trying to make money, it's for your own selfish purposes, James says it's going to come back and burn you. It's not going to be there to help you, but on the opposite, it's going to end up causing you tremendous pain. So instead of hoarding and trying to do all these things for selfish purposes, what are we supposed to do? Disciples are to be generous with what we have. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches this lesson very plainly. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 33. Here's the words of Jesus. This part of this is similar to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Apparently, it was given at a very different time than Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 33, says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. See, the box on the left, that one grows old. That's a money bag that grows old. Well, on the right, it doesn't grow old. So he says, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. So similar in some ways, but it's like Jesus gave the same sermon twice in different locations to different people and used some different phrases, different wording, a different way of putting it. So he says, don't use a money bag that has holes in it or that will get holes in it. Because you keep putting money in that one, it's like putting it in the wrong box. At the end, when you open it, there's absolutely nothing there. It's empty. He says, rather get the type of money bag that lays up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's the type of money bag you need to have. So, disciples, we're to be generous with what we have and help others with it. And he goes on then, back in Matthew 6, this is the contrast, the comparison. He says, but this is what you need to do, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, if we lay up things in heaven, lay up our treasures in heaven, put them in the right box, there are no moths or insects in heaven. There are no thieves in heaven. There's no decay or corruption in heaven. So therefore, whatever you put in that box will be there plus more when it's all over. So that's the type of money bag to be putting your treasures in. So instead of hoarding it and using it for your own selfish purposes, if you do good with it, it's like you're putting it in a money bag that will be there when all is said and done. But if you do it for your own selfish purposes, put it in the wrong box, the wrong money bag, that money bag's got a hole in it. And you're just putting it in and it's going out. Putting it in, it's going out. And that's the comparison. That's what he wants us to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 has some language that talks about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven because, verse 4 says, we're to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, that's the type of money bag that isn't corruptible, that doesn't fade away, but it's reserved in heaven. So putting our stuff in that money bag means that it's going to be there. Not physical, because we don't need any physical money in heaven. But as we'll see, what goes in that money bag is what we do in this life that's good. We'll see that in particular in a moment. So, you know, it's all about who are we serving, as we'll see in a minute. Who are we serving and where are we putting our riches? 1 Timothy chapter 6, at the very end of that book, verses 17 through 19, gives advice again to us who are rich, because that's you and me. Beginning in verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6, Paul tells Timothy to tell the church there, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. See, by putting it in that one money bag, this box on the left, you're trusting in uncertain riches. Rather, trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. By putting it in the right money bag, in this box on the right, God gives back to us. Not so on the left. So he says, here's how you do that. Here's how you put it in the right money bag. Here's how you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here's how you put it in the right box. Here's what you do. He lays it out very simply for us to understand. Here's what you do. Let them do good. Doing good lays up treasures in heaven. Puts it in the right money bag. What else? If you're rich in good works, that's putting it in the right money bag. If you're ready to give, that puts it in the right money bag. If you're willing to share, that puts it in the right money bag. He says, by doing these things, you're storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. See at the end. That they may lay hold on eternal life. It's all about making choices about what to do with what you have. That's what Jesus is teaching. Because he says, back in Matthew 6, the next verse, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever it is. You know, the nature of our heart, in other words, the condition of our heart, the state of our heart, is reflected in what we do with what we have. That's what he's saying. And what we value. What do you value? Well, that tells you what condition of your heart is. That's what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 12, remember the parable, the story of the man whose fields yielded plentifully, so he had to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones. And he said, "Man, I have got it made." See, his values were wrong. He was laying up treasures on earth. And he thought by doing that, he could just lay back, eat, rest, drink, be merry, whatever. But he was putting it in a money bag that had a hole in it. Because when he looked at the money bag, it was empty. And so he was told, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Then whose will those things be? I think it's verses 20 and 21. He was laying up treasures on earth. And so at the end of his life, he had absolutely nothing. At all. Not one thing of any value or of any importance. So he describes a way of looking at our bodies physically to describe the condition of our heart. Notice what he says. Verses 22 and 23. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now remember, the context is what you're doing with your resources. So that's what he's talking about in those two verses. You know, laying up for yourselves treasures on earth or in heaven. So when we look at it in that way, we understand what he's talking about with our body. You know, our eye is what tells us what's happening in the world, what we see. Well, if our eye isn't functioning well, if it's cloudy, if it's partially clear or whatever, partially cloudy, if it's dark in a spot, we can't see clearly. But if our eye is functioning like it's supposed to, we can see clearly. Now, if we use that with what he's talking about, the person whose eye is focused on God and is focused on what is important, then he's going to use his possessions, his money, wisely. He's going to give. He's going to be willing to share. He's going to do good works. He's going to be putting it in the right money bag. He's going to be putting it in the right box. If his eye is clear, if it's focused on God, he sees God, he knows what is good, he knows what is right, he knows what God is wanting for him to do, so his eye is clear. It's full of light. But if he's not focused on God, he's focused on the world or selfishness or doing things for his own purposes, then his eye is said to be full of darkness. And so what's he going to do? He's going to put it in the wrong money bag. He's going to put it in the wrong box. And so at the end of his life, everybody sees clearly then. And he's going to look in the money bag. It's going to be empty. There's nothing there. Again, it had a hole in it. It rusted out. The moth ate it. Whatever. The thieves stole it. But there's nothing there at the end. Because his eye wasn't clear. It wasn't full of light. He wasn't focusing on what was important, and his values were all wrong. That was what was wrong with his life. His priorities, if you will, were all messed up. And so Jesus ends this little section by summing it up. It's all about who you're serving, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. And remember, that's the word slave there. No one can be a slave to two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. So who are the two masters? You cannot serve, be a slave to, God and mammon, the world, riches, whatever word you want to choose. He says you cannot be both. Because when you're a slave, you're only a slave to an exclusive master. You cannot be a slave to two different masters. It wasn't possible in the first century to be a slave to two different masters. If you were a slave, you had a master, singular, one. Not two, three, or four, just one. So similarly, we can only be a slave to one. And God and riches, God and money, are two entirely different masters. And so it depends upon who we're a slave to. If we're a slave to God, we'll lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. If we're a slave to riches, then that's what we value, so we're going to put it in this money bag. That's what we're valuing. That's our priority. Because we're a slave to the world, we're a slave to riches, we're a slave to our selfish purposes. So that's where our money goes. And everything associated with money goes there. So he says, you have to choose. You have to choose. In Luke 16, notice this example. Now, I think it's an excellent example. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 10. This is again the words of Jesus. He had just talked about a rich man who had a steward, and the steward was accused of wasting his goods. Well, down in verse 10, he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot be a slave to God and mammon. Again, similar sermon, a little different wording. But money, mammon, riches, can be your master. That can be what you follow. And if you do, then you're going to be very concerned about filling this money bag in this box. You're not going to be concerned about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You don't care that this money bag is empty. All you're concerned about is this money bag. The wrong one. The one with a hole in it. You don't know there's a hole in it, but there's a hole in it. And you don't know at the end of your life there's not going to be anything there, but there's not going to be anything there. Jesus says there will not be anything there. So, again, there's a contrast. Two money bags, two boxes, two masters. What do you do? What is your choice? The very last verse we want to look at is found in Romans chapter 6. And I don't know if you've ever looked at this verse in this particular way, but it certainly applies to what Jesus says. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Paul writes, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." There's the two choices again. Put in different words, the same thing. He says, you present yourselves as a slave to something. It's a choice. And again, notice this verse says there's only two choices. This one or this one? It says this one leads to death. This one leads to righteousness. It's your choice. If you concentrate about this life and doing everything for yourself and not helping other people and not filling your life with good works, not serving anybody, then that leads to death. That money bag will be empty. On the other hand, if you use your what you have, whatever that is, by doing good and filling your life with good works and doing things for the right reason, doing things for other people, then that shows that you've set your mind, your heart, your will on God and what is most important. And so this money bag is full. And Paul says that leads to righteousness. Remember what Paul said at the end of his life? He will be given a crown of righteousness. And that should be our goal. But it's all about what we do in this life and the decisions we make about what we have and what we do with them. And how are we going to help people? Are we going to fill our life with selfish purposes? And is our life all going to be about me and my wants and my desires? Or am I going to be concerned about other people? Helping other people, doing good for other people, giving things to other people, sharing things with other people. The list goes on and on. What are you going to do? At the end of your life, is your money bag going to be empty? Or will you have sent things on up to heaven? That's what it's about. It's our decision. And you might say we're given a money bag when we become a Christian. When we decide to become a child of God, we're given a money bag. We're given those choices. And from that point on, it makes a huge difference about what we do with what we have. Because Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. What are we doing with what we have? Tonight, if there's anyone that wants to make that right decision to become a Christian or a right decision to confess that they have not been doing what they should, now's the time to do it. David's going to lead us an invitation song, and I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.